the youth path, the relationship between the two become more intimate, even more intimate, and thicker and thicker, sweeter and sweeter. And then later on one feels, oh, I don't want to be separated even for a moment from that person. Is such a relationship possible here? You will say that we feel such a relationship many times with our mother or father in this world. And if you deeply analyze the reason why it is so, that's because we have received unconditional love from mother. In case we have, anybody has received such unconditional love, they never demanded anything from us. They wanted to feed us nicely, they wanted to see us healthy, and they wanted to see us grow. They sacrificed, they took a lot of pains for us. And then when we grew up, they didn't have any expectation from us. They simply wanted to see us happy, which means their heart was full of good wishes for us. So, therefore, you will see in such a relationship, unfortunately, in the modern times, some children see the mother and father divorcing. So that is like a heart breakage for them. But in case in any family, if mother and father remained together, if a husband and wife have remained together 50 or 60 years, you can give them a gold medal for that. Which means they have actually tolerated each other's idiosyncrasies, each other's unique traits and natures and everything. They must be committed to, their parents, their grandparents, to God and the sacred order of marriage. So, therefore, it's not too very easy in this world. In America, there is one couple in Texas, and Texas, Austin, Texas. So, they had recently come to Pune. So they were married almost like 40 or 50 years ago. Married. Now they're very elderly, husband and wife, they're traveling preachers in Spain. So many of our family members had come to attend the program, they were telling actually this person, when he speaks about Prasthashrama, they said we felt very inspired because they have continued to live together all their life without separation. And they have respect. Mutual respect and trust and love for each other. Such a couple is really there. And if one can live like that, it is very wonderful. Now today, our central theme of the subject is this, on different type of relationships between not only husband and wife, between father and son, mother and daughter, or between one friend and another friend, or between colleagues in an office, or between neighbors in the same colony, isn't it? So, while you have interpersonal dealing with others, how there can be a shining relationship which never rusts? It never rusts, it always remains ever fresh. Like food in the morning is fresh, but if it is kept till night, it becomes stale, isn't it? So, well, in this world, it seems that the relationships are fresh at one time, eventually they become stale. How to not let them become stale? So you don't like the subject? So this is what I intended to speak today. Oh my Jnana Jnana Nasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurani Litam Yena Pasthan Shri Gulave Namo Mishtabada Nivritam Krishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiji Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravaya Pracharine Nirvishe Vishunavari Pashchat Deshtarine Panchakarpata Vyaschikapara Sanjubhya Evacha Adhidana Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Vyavisri Krishna Chaitanya Pranudhita Mandala Shri Advaita Gadadana Shri Vasari Gauravata Gandha Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How much relevant the scriptures like Ramayana or Mahabharata or Bhagavatam in our lives is today can be so easily explained. Sometimes people think, Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years old. And similarly, many other scriptures are not really relevant today. Today times have changed. Lifestyle has changed. Our thought process has changed. So, could we put 5,000 scriptures or should we have something else? New age religion is coming nowadays. Many people are talking about such things. But I can tell you how relevant it is. Just a couple of weeks ago, in Lakhpur, there was one Kumar tutorial. There was a step-by-step tutorial. So the step-by-step tutorial was booming. And the other one, the Kumar tutorials, they were not diving. So this fellow, the director of this Kumar tutorial, shocked step-by-step tutorial director. Came in the paper. So, what is the basic element that must have gone in his mind due to which you think he shot him? Can any of you say? I can ask questions also. Yeah. So, why do you think this Kumar tutorial fellows shot the other fellow? What must have been the basic thing between the two?
Jealousy.
So, we sometimes hear about jealousy of below the land. Yeah, that's 5,000 years old. No, it is still here. We can see it today and right now. This world. Similarly, you might have written the paper, one major
of army, he wanted to enjoy with another major's wife. She said no. So he cut her, slit her throat, and he drove his car over her. It came in the paper, you can see that. So what is this? Why this fellow, one army chief, did with other army chief's wife? What is the underlying thing? What is it? Yeah? Possessiveness. Possessiveness of someone else's wife, which is improper. Actually, lust means trying to enjoy something that is prohibited. What is not allowed for us. Hankering for it. That is called lust, actually. So basically, what he said is correct. He is trying to possess, like Ravana tried to possess Rama's wife. Isn't it? Now, is it an old story? The story repeats now, again. One army officer, army chief, want to possess another man's wife. He is actually emulating the model of Ravana only. Maybe we can call him mini Ravana or whatever. Correct, no? You understand? You appreciate the point? Why I am telling you these things? The Vedas are as relevant to us today as much as they were relevant thousands of years ago. Because they talk about such vices in people. Whether it be lust or anger or greed. Like you all precisely captured the answers I was anticipating. So, therefore, we shouldn't think that Vedas are outdated and they can't be applied in our day-to-day lives. We should be able to see it ourselves. In the same manner, I can confidently tell you, Vedas can give us clue on how we should live our lives in such a way that we can make our relationships based on love, trust, and such kinds of relationships are as taught in the Vedas. And in today's session, you will come to understand where are we going wrong in case our relationships are not sweet and they are not blossoming, they are not increasing our feelings of affection. What wrong things we might be doing, which are worthy of noting and rectifying and modifying our thought process, our speech and behavior in such a way that we can lead a more fulfilling and happy lives, isn't it? So, recently, probably a couple of years ago, there was one elderly gentleman in Pune, about 82 years old. So, I have been to his house, maybe twice I had been before that. Now, he called me on phone and said, Swamiji, can you please visit our home? There is something very serious. Then he explained to me what it was. So he told me that he had two sons. See, this fellow owns schools in Pune. He has colleges. He has industries. He has his own dharmashalas and other things also he has made. A very pious person. Pious Vaishya family. They are coming from that. So he told that I have two sons. When they were like this, small kids, people in the village used to call them Ram Lakshman Jodi, like that. they would always come running together, two kids. They were, their age difference was only a couple of years between them. So he said, now they have grown up. They are now grown up. In fact, one of them is running my shop here in Pune, big supermarket, I mean shopping mall. Another one is running the schools, college, everything. Now he said, now I am crossing 80, I thought of dividing the property, you know, amongst them. So I called for a meeting and he said, last 1 week my sleep is gone, he said. Because they are having such a cutthroat competition and fight for certain properties. Both of them want the same things, certain places. Yes, crores of worth property. So he said, now they are married and they have children also. Regularly, every day night, they take suggestions from wife also. This is what I was said about to settle with the father, what do you say? And they say something new, which they reveal in the next day morning. And they go back. So 1 week it has been going on like this. He said, last 1 week my sleep is gone. Can you please come and do something? I said, see, we don't talk of money, monetary matters and all, property and other things. We are sadhus. I can give a lecture if you want, I said. He said, okay. So when I was going to the house, I was thinking, what lecture to give? Somehow, you know, I was inspired by Lord within my heart. I spoke the Bharat Milap Leela from Ramayana. Bharat Milap Leela is what? You all know that. You know, when Lord Ram went to forest, you know, when Bharat returned back, you know, he also was sad, just as other Ayodhyavasis were very sad. So he took all the Ayodhyavasis and took them to the forest along with him. He told them, actually, I don't want to be the king. My brother will become the king. I also want Lord Rama to become the king. He became very angry with Kaikeyi also. So when he entered the forest and met Lord Rama, and I'm cutting the long story short, it's a very beautiful Leela, pastime in Ramayana. So when he told Ram, when he was approaching Ram, Ram was watching, Lakshman was also watching. And Lakshman was thinking that Bharat is coming to forest, you know why? In order to defeat Ram there, so that Ram will never return back after 14 years. Like that Lakshman was thinking. But Ram said, he is coming to call me back to become the king, which was true actually. And then when Bharat came almost some 10 feet distance, Bharat told, oh my brother, you are wearing a tree bark dress, dress made of tree bark, and you are wearing matted hair. Alas, what a pitiful scene it is. You are supposed to be the king of the world. How you can have matted hair? So saying like this, Bharat fell on the ground unconscious. And Ram ran up to him, picked him up and put him on his lap. And then he saw Bharat was also wearing tree bark dress. And he was also having matted hair. And Ram told Lakshman, look at this fellow. He has come to be my proxy in the forest. And he wants me to go back and become the king. With that intention, he has already worn the tree bark dress. And he is having a matted hair and coming like this. And then when they sprinkled water and Bharat got up, Bharat cried a lot. And fell at the feet of Ram. And then they both talked for some time. Finally, Bharat was telling the same thing as I told you. Please come back and take up Ayodhya. All Ayodhyavasis have come. It's our heart's desire. Ram said, no, I have to follow father's order. I will not come. You have to become the king. And there was a competition between the two. You become the king, you become the king, you become the king. It was like that. Generally speaking, you find in the parliament something different happening. People are fighting for the chair. Whereas here he is pushing the chair, you take the chair. He is saying, you take the throne, you take the throne. It was like that, you see. So, it was actually a competition, but competition of love. See, there can be a competition of lust, a competition of love. You can see that. Like I remember in my IIT days, in my hostel there were two boys from the same village in Maharashtra, you know. So, I just watched them when they were leaving for the summer vacation. So one of them was filling up his suitcase. The other boy asked him, you are going to the station by the same train? He said, yes, the same train, he said. So I have a backpack, can I put it in your suitcase? He asked. So that boy said, no, there is no place, he said. And that friend came and watched. He pushed everything to one side of the suitcase and said, here there is a place. And he took off his backpack and put it inside. And he closed it and then this fellow was very upset. Hey, why are you increasing the weight of my luggage? And that boy said, hey, anyway, we are from the same village. So, why don't you carry? He just pushed the suitcase to him And he ran away. This boy was telling, see, you are putting your luggage, at least you should help me carry it. He didn't care, he ran away. He just joked about him and he ran away. So this fellow was carrying it like a donkey carrying a heavy weight. It was very heavy for him, you see. And he was very upset. This sight I saw. 1 year later, I was very amazed because this fellow started coming for our Hare Krishna classes, which were happening. I saw the same two boys when this fellow was putting the things in the suitcase. So he went and asked his other friend, what about your backpack, you want to give me? That fellow felt very uneasy to give him. He said, no, this time I will carry my backpack on my own. You carry your suitcase, I'll carry mine, he said. Because he felt little hesitant to put his load on his friend. But then this fellow snatched his backpack and put it into the suitcase. He said, no, I will carry it, don't worry. And as soon as he closed the suitcase, that other boy, he said, since my luggage is inside your luggage, so I will carry the suitcase. And they both were pulling. He said, I will carry. He said, I will carry. They both were fighting. Now, what was the 1 year ago fight and what is this fight? Any of you can say? You understood my question? Now they both are fighting. I will take the suitcase. I will take the suitcase. Whereas 1 year ago what they said, you carry the suitcase. You carry the suitcase. What is the difference between the two? You can give the mics to them. You can give one this side, one that side. Yeah. You understood my example?
Now they started caring for each other.
Yeah, correct. They started respecting each other. They are caring for each other. And they don't want to dump their problem on others. Correct, no? Okay, anybody else want to add from inside? Any of you? There is one more mic here. Yeah. Anybody? What did you observe? It's a very small example. What do you observe in this? Yeah, yes, madam.
In the first case, they were more selfish. They only thought of themselves.
Yes.
But later on, they thought of the other person first.
Very true. Very true. Very nice. Thank you. So, in the first case, they were very selfish. I, me, mine. They always thought about it. I, me and mine. They were having I, me, mine bubble around them. They never cared for anyone else. In the second case, you see that they became selfless. They also cared for the friend. In fact, they wanted to serve the friend. They actually had their attitude to serve the friend. So I found that earlier there was bhogavritti and now there was sevavritti. You know these two words in Hindi? Bhogavritti means what? Enjoy and exploit. Seva means serve. So they had a serving tendency now. So you will find in this world, wherever there is bhogavritti, you know, there is exploitation. There is exploitation. Where there is sevavritti, there is sacrifice and service. Isn't it? Like you see, Ravan is going to Sita, Hanuman is going to Sita. And it is like earth and sky difference. When Ravan is going to Sita, he wants to exploit Sita. Whereas when Hanuman is going to Sita, he wants to serve Sita. Isn't it? So Ravan is going with what vritti? Bhogavritti. And Hanuman is going to Sita with? Seva vritti. Is that clear to everybody? Yeah. So now, when Bharat came to forest to meet Ram, and he told Ram, you become the king, and Ram told him, you become the king. So they both had which vritti they had? Seva vritti. You all understand that? Because there is it's called as competition of love. It's a loving competition. They both are saying, you become the king. And then Bharat told, my dear brother, if you are adamant not to come back, I can also be adamant. I will also not go back and become the king. Rather, I will sit here facing the north and I will leave my life here. I will give up my body. And then Ram said, Bharat, is it very difficult for anyone to give up the body? There are so many people nowadays committing suicide also nowadays. It's not a big deal. But to follow the instruction of a superior, that is greater than giving up life also. So if you really love me, you have to do what I tell you. Like that he was telling. In the meantime, the devatas in the sky behind the clouds, they all shouted, hey Bharat, you know, follow the order of your brother, go back and take up the kingship. They were saying, you know why? Because the devatas are worried. If Bharat convinces Ram and Ram also says, Bharat, you are also calling, Ayodhyavasis are calling, three widowed mothers have come, sages are also telling me, okay, chalo, I am coming back. If he goes back and becomes a king, then who will kill Ravana? So devatas became worried. And they have started speaking Akashvani from there. They said, Bharat, obey your brother, go back and take up because Ram has other duties to do in the forest, they said. So then Bharat agreed, but not to become the king sitting on the throne. I had recently gone, just a couple of years ago, to Ayodhya. You know, on the Ayodhya frontiers, there is an Nandagram. You can go and see today. Generally in the temple you find Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman you see, or you see Radha Krishna deities, murtis you see. Whereas in that temple, you know what is the murti there? Very special type of murti. Bharat and Ram embracing each other. That type of murti they have in Nandagram. You'll find that, Nandagram. So there also there is a gufa kind of thing if you go down. I asked, what is this gufa? They told, this is where Bharat used to sleep. When Ram would sleep on the cot, Bharat would sleep on the ground. When Ram would sleep on the ground, Bharat would sleep underground. Because he thought, how can I sleep on the same level? So he would sleep underground. And he thought, in the forest, what would Ram be eating? He'll be eating some, you know, roots and bulbs and fruits and things like that. So then Bharat was eating only some, you know, some barley or something, mixed with cow urine. 14 years he ate very simple foods he ate. He underwent a lot of difficulty, those 14 years. And he kept the paduka on the simhasana. Every day he would fan it, he would worship it. When he saw the paduka of Ram, he thought, actually his brother is there. Like that he thought. So much respect, so much affection with which he took care of the kingdom for the pleasure of Ram. So this is what I was telling them. When I told this whole pastime of Bharat weeping when he met Ram and then Bharat what he accepted and did and everything. So those two brothers were looking at each other. What Ram and Bharat is doing and what are we doing? So after the lecture was over, I returned back. And at the end of the lecture, they took mala and they were chanting also. So that night I got a call from the father. Both brothers went to the father and said, whatever you allot for us, we are happy to accept, they said. So the problem was solved that very night. So in this way, from this one hearing, one leela from Ramayana made a difference for that family. Although it's a very big, I don't want to mention the surname of the family. Although it's a very big, one of the Vaishya families, they had crores of rupees, but they had no peace of mind. But now when hearing this one leela, their whole mindset changed. Now I told you about Lord Ram in the forest. But now I will tell you something interesting. Before Lord Ram went to forest, when he was, you know, when he was a higher apparent, we call it, like Rajkumar, when he was announced as Rajkumar, at the time, you know, all the praja, all the people, they all celebrated. Ram is going to become the king, everybody. And then Ram also went to Mother Kaushalya. Before he went to meet her, his friends had conveyed already to Kaushalya that Ram is going to become the king now. So Kaushalya was so happy. She gave many prizes, many rewards to the friends of Rama and everything. And Ram went and offered namaskar to mother and told her, father wants to make me heir apparent now and he'll make me the king later. And mother said, long live my child. And she blessed and everything. But next day the whole thing toppled and you all know what happened. So of course Dasharath didn't tell her that, you know, you can't become the king. Who told him? Who told Ram? Dasharath didn't tell him. Kaikeyi told her. Kaikeyi told Ram. And Ram told mother, at that time there was not even a ray of, you know, sadness in the face of Ram. Can you imagine that? Like imagine, you are told that you are going to be CEO of a company one day and the next day you are told you are chucked out. You have no role to play. Which person will not, you know, at least express something? Now you are not going to just show a sadness on the face. We will question, isn't it? Who said what? Please tell me elaborately what happened. If any qualification is lacking in me, I will get qualified very soon so that I can, you know, again occupy the post or something like that. But Ram didn't speak anything. But then he went to his mother. When he went to his mother and bowed down to mother and said, mother, you may be aware, I'm supposed to go to forest for 14 years. But do not worry. It'll go like one moment. I'll come back very quickly. Like that he said. But Kaushalya cried and said, my dear son, you will follow only your father's order, not my order. And he said, no, you are mother. You are worshipable. You are respectable for me. Tell me what is your order. She said, your father is telling go to forest. I am telling you not to go to forest. She said, you stay back, I will convince Kaikeyi. I will tell Kaikeyi that her son will be the king, and the second boon which she asked to send you to forest, I will tell her, please withdraw that boon and you stay back with us. Because her intention is to make her son the king. Let him be the king. You just live with us. Why should you go to forest? Is it a very good adjustment? How many of you feel it's a very wonderful idea? How many of you feel? It's a good idea, correct? But do you think Ram agreed to that? Ram didn't agree. Ram said, Pitru Vachan, the father's order should not be discarded. I have to go. So she cried, Yashoda again, Kaushalya. Kaushalya then said, okay, if you have to go to forest at any cost, then take me with you. Let Dasharath be here, I am coming with you, she said. For that, you know, Ram said, your wife should always be with the husband. She should not go away to faraway place. So mother, you should be with Dasharathi only. And besides that, already Kaikeyi has, you know, behaved in such a way, she has deserted him and he is broken hearted already. If you also come to forest with me, what will happen to my father? You take care of him, he said. Now Kaushalya was even more crying. She said, neither are you ready to stay, nor are you allowing me to come with you. Like that. At that time, you know what Ram said? Mother, without your blessing, how can I go to forest and spend my 14 years? If you cry, it will be inauspicious for me, he said. Then Kaushalya said, she wiped her tears and called the brahmanas and did some swasti vachan and everything and told, no, don't worry my child, you can go to forest and my blessings with you. Like that she said. Now Ram was happy, at least I have convinced the mother now. Next to whom he has to convince? Sita. Then he went to Sita. See, at that time Sita had gone into the puja room. Of course Sita would regularly worship Lord Vishnu, praying to Lord Vishnu for the safety, security and protection of her husband, not knowing that her husband is non-different from Vishnu. Actually Krishna, Ram and Vishnu, they are all one personality doing triple acting, three different roles. But Ram played the role like a human being. It's called Nara. Like Naralila we call it. We call him as a Maryada Purushottam. Correct, no? He's setting an ideal for the humans. So in this way, when Sita was praying and then when she came out, Ram told her, my dear Sita, you see, you remain with my three mothers here and I will quickly go to forest and come back. Although the period appears to be 14 years, it's not going to take much time. Like that he said. And Sita said, what? What are you talking? You are saying I will remain here and you will go to forest? How can you even speak such a thing? She said. For a wife, being with the husband is like heaven. And for a wife to be separated from the husband is like hell. And even the soft bed in the palace will be like a thorny bed for me without you. But on the other hand, if you take me with you, I will see the beautiful mountains and the waterfalls, beautiful trees in the forest. I always had a desire to have darshan, see the forest, Vanashobha, I wanted to see always. I'll come with you and I will lead a very happy life with you in the forest. And with you on my side, what problems can come for me? Like that she asked. So Ram said, see, the forest, there are always animals praying for food. Like you see lions and tigers, they are searching for food. And we are not going to have a bungalow like this to live. In the forest, we'll be sleeping under trees. It's not very safe for you, Sita. So therefore, I want you to remain in the palace here. And Sita loudly cried and she said, you see, 14 years, if you leave me behind, when you come back, you won't find me alive, she said. I will either enter fire or I'll enter into some river or I'll consume poison and die. You do whatever you want, but you won't find me alive, she said. At that time, Ram embraced Sita and said, Sita, you have passed the test, he said. She asked, what is the test? He said, I really wanted to know whether you want to come with me or not. That's what I was testing. And now you have really proven that you are really wanting to come with me, because I didn't want to inconvenience you. Like that he said. Even when I read this section first time, I was surprised. He is telling his mother, wife should remain with whom? With husband always. But here he is telling his wife, remain with my mothers. Isn't it? I was saying, why Ram is saying two different things? The reason is this. Ram did not want to inconvenience his wife. Ram could have easily cried to Sita and said, hey Sita, do you know my good wife? 14 years I have to go to forest. Who will cook for me? Who will take care of me? You also have to come. If he said like that, and Sita also cries and says, no, punishment is only for you, not for me. If they do like that, correct, no? It would be a joke, isn't it? If they did that. And they are just doing the opposite. He is telling, stay back. In the palace you get, you know, pulav, kadhi, rasamalai, puran poli, everything. You eat all of that, lie in a very soft bed, and my three mothers will take care of you very nicely. You have a very tender body, you don't have to go out of the palace. Like that, who is saying? Ram is saying. But Sita is saying, no, I will walk with you in the forest. If a thorn comes on the way, I will remove the thorn first so that you can walk without any pain. Like that she is telling. And she is ready to endure all the challenges in the forest. Is it not simply amazing? Then Sita became happy, jolly, to know that she is going to accompany Ram. Then Ram went, Ram saw Lakshman was coming. Lakshman already knew the news. So Ram turned to Lakshman and said, hey Lakshman, you know, now that I am going to forest, somebody has to take care of our mothers, three mothers. So you remain behind and take care. He said, me taking care of them? Bharat is going to be here. He will be the king. He will take care of the parents. I will come with you. I have already prepared the luggage, everything, to go with you. He said, I will walk ahead and you and Sita will walk behind me. If any animal comes our way, any other obstacle comes our way, I'll be the first one to tackle it. And I also have taken a vow, he said, for 14 years I am not going to sleep at all. I am going to keep wide awake. Why? Because I will make a cottage for you to live, and when you both are sleeping in the cottage, I will go round and round with my bow and arrow and offer you protection. And when Mother Sita has to cook, I will go into the forest, fetch some vegetables, get some drinking water and everything. And I'll be your assistant for 14 years, my brother. So you can't stop me from accompanying you. So he already made up his mind. Like that he said. Ram laughed and said, well, how can I stop such a brother? Because Ram and Lakshman were always like a jodi, you must have seen. When Vishwamitra came and asked, you know, get Ram and I want Ram with me. So Dasharath said, hey, call Ram, he said. When Ram came, Lakshman came along with him. Like a shadow. Because you will never find Ram coming alone. Similarly, you will never find Bharat going alone. Wherever Bharat goes, who will go with him? Shatrughna will go with him. Shatrughna is very attached to our Bharat. And Lakshmana was very attached to Ram. So in this way, now when Lakshman said like that, Ram had to take him also. Again, the same point here. Think about Kaushalya's behavior, Sita's behavior, and Lakshman's behavior, and Ram's behavior. Correct, no? So Ram is worried about Kaushalya's safety, security. And Kaushalya wants to accompany Ram to cook for him, care for him, even in the jungle. Correct, no? Look at Sita, she is ready to lay down her life if Ram wouldn't take her with him. And Ram doesn't want to disturb her or trouble her. So, did you notice an element of selflessness in all these characters? Did you notice it? So, everybody is thinking about whom? Themselves or someone else? Someone else. You can see that selflessness. So, there is a seva vritti in every one of them. You can see that. So, this type of behavior is indeed rare in this world. Therefore, when Gandhiji was in his fifth standard, once his friend took him to a drama theater, where two dramas he saw. One was Ramayana, another one was Harishchandra. So when he saw Ramayana drama, he was about to faint practically. He saw the character of Ram and he became charmed by his personality. On that day he took a vow that I will never speak a lie in my life. So he had once, his friend gave him a piece of meat. So he didn't like it. He said, I am a vegetarian, I don't eat meat. But his friend insisted. And his friend forcibly put it in the mouth of Gandhi. When he had it in the mouth, suddenly he had a fear that it is not proper to eat flesh of another animal. So he spat it out. But that night he got a dream of a goat coming. Ma, ma, ma. He was making sound. The goat came. Goat was asking, why did you try to eat me or something? And then Gandhi got up. So he writes this episode in the My Experiments with Truth. After that he had seen this Ramayana. So then he told, I will never do wrong and I will uphold the truth. So when he was going for barrister in London, his mother and father were worried. This boy, you know, when he goes abroad, he may get spoiled. He may drink, smoke and get spoiled. But he took a vow that I will not, you know, commit any sins. So when he went to London, he could not get good food. So he would take these potatoes and fry them in the coal, hot coal, chickpeas. So he would make this and eat there. He never drank. He never mixed with anybody. He remained. So he says, Gandhi says, my truthfulness comes from the character of Lord Rama. Lord Rama's truthfulness. So later on, Gandhi went on to become father of the nation. You will see that. In fact, when Gandhi finished barrister and came to India, he became like an advocate or a lawyer. He became a lawyer. So he put a board that he is a lawyer. But below he had put one more statement. He said, I will only fight for true cases, not false cases. Don't bring any false case to me, and even if you give big money, I will not fight for you. That's what he had written. So many people used to fear Gandhi, because he's a truthful person. So when he went to the court one day, one of his cases was a false case, but that person had to lie to Gandhi. Suddenly a question was asked to him by a sakshi in the court. And then this man was, he just couldn't answer it. He was mumbling. And then the man admitted his fault. And Gandhi said, really? You never told me this? You told me a lie? The man said, yes. Gandhi said, sorry, then I resigned from your case. I cannot handle your case. So, of course, that case made him unpopular. Correct, no? Because imagine anybody for whom a lawyer is fighting, he walks out from the court and says, I can't fight for you. Naturally, that case, he will be unhappy. But although he was unpopular amongst the untruthful people, but eventually he became father of the nation for upholding such integrity. Understand? Correct, no? So, you will see that personalities have drawn inspiration from the character of Lord Rama for his utmost selflessness. So, when later on when Sita told Ram, she said, why I can't be separated from you even for a moment? She gave a reason. She said, you are the personification of all good qualities. You are the personified tolerance, humility, sense control, and love for all living beings. You are a ocean of good qualities. Without seeing you, we can't maintain our lives. Like that Sita says in Ramayana. So, two things we have understood till now. If a person has divine qualities like this, like for example, if somebody has qualities like humility, tolerance, patience, compassion, simplicity, kindness, being courteous, being helpful, being selfless, being cooperative, willingness to listen, willingness to bend, flexibility, accommodation. So these kind of qualities if somebody has, they become magnetic. Do you agree? If any personality has these type of qualities, these are all sattvic qualities, sattvaguna qualities. So these type of qualities itself make a person magnetically attractive, and people like to connect with such people naturally. And if you see Sita, Ram, Lakshman, all of them exhibit such qualities. You will see that. Like you all know, when Ram had gone behind that deer and to catch the deer, that time Sita told Lakshman, hey Lakshman, now I am hearing a sound. Who gave out the sound? Hey Lakshman, hey Sita, who shouted? Marich, who had come in the disguise of a deer. So he loudly shouted. So Sita said, see, I heard the sound. My husband is calling. Hey Sita, hey Lakshman. And Lakshman said, no, that's not Ram. I can easily make out the voice. It is that demon, Maricha, who is calling. So Sita insisted, no, you have to go. I am worried that Ram's life is in danger. So Sita was concerned about Ram, and Lakshman was confident about Ram. But both of them had affection for Ram, you will see. Here, their tussle between Sita and Lakshman here is due to their affection for Ram. One was confident, one was concerned. You can see that. But ultimately, both of them have a similar affection for Ram. Both Sita and Lakshman have such affection for Ram. You will see that. So, when we talk about Bhogavritti, Sevavritti, in our life, if you very carefully see, the modern day society is very drastically gliding down like a downward spiral towards Bhogavritti. Everybody is becoming very calculative. Recently we had a debate on the topic of live-in relationship or to marry. To marry or live-in relationship. So that was the program we did for the youth. In that there was one girl who was making a point. She made a point that it is better to marry, she said. And the reason she gave was there is a security for future. that in case divorce happens, you know, we may get compensation. Therefore, it is better to marry. That was one point she made. So, then when I was commenting, I made a point. See, one should not enter married life with the thought of divorce. One should enter married life with the thought of living whole life together. Like my mother, she was 80, my father was 84. Last year they passed away. My father was 84, mother was 80. Can you imagine? They were very elderly. So, but I have seen them in the last, whenever every year I go home, I used to go home for about 3 days. 3-4 days I used to go and meet them. But amazingly I found they had a very thick, loving relationship with one another. Always. And I have seen my, two instances I'll tell you how, what kind of affection they had. When I looked at my mother so elderly, I told her, see, you should not cook anymore at home. You know, there is one brahmana nearby and he will put idlis and dosa and all he'll give. I have already spoken to him. So tomorrow onwards, morning, afternoon, night, 3 times he'll bring. And both of you are very old. You just stay home and relax and take that, I told her. And my mother agreed. See, my mother has no habit of saying no. Whatever you say, she will do like that. She's always very cooperative. Then I was very happy that she has agreed. She doesn't have to go to kitchen and handle the water and everything, difficulty. She can relax. And when I was about to leave my home, I told my father that we have arranged, made this arrangement. So mother need not cook, both of you are very old. You just relax, I told. My father said, okay, if your mother has agreed for it, then I agree, he said. If she doesn't agree, then I also won't agree. Like that he told me. Then I called my mother from the kitchen. I told her, I did namaskar to them and I said, I am going to leave now. So the brahmana, I have told, tomorrow onwards you will come, is that all right? She said, no. I will only cook, she said. I said, what is this? Yesterday you agreed? She said, I didn't want to displease you. Therefore I agreed, she said. But anyway, I had made up my mind that I will only cook. My father said, just see, what can I do? She doesn't agree, so why will I agree, he said. So they have mutual understanding like this. And then I came to know, while leaving, my mother was telling, hey, do you think I am only cooking? Your father is cutting sabji also. He is cutting sabji and giving. He is washing pots also. He is helping me. We both are old people. But we are helping one another. And somehow we are running the show. And she was telling like that. They have a good understanding. Another day I found my father. See, my father is a millionaire. He has worth crores of worth property and everything. But I saw him catching water, the corporation water, you know. Almost he was keeping 10-12 buckets, catching and keeping. I told him, Papa, why are you taking so much trouble? You know, you can employ a servant who will do all this. In this old age, you relax in the easy chair. You know what he told me? He told me something amazing. He said, if I don't work hard like this, how I can draw the sympathy of your mother? He asked. Because generally the wives complain that the husband is jolly and I have to do all the hard work. So, they have such an understanding, deep understanding with one another. Actually, my mother is an illiterate. She has done only up to 8th standard or something. And my father has a dozen degrees. You know, he had triple MA and triple MSc in maths. He has done law also. He has done MPhil. Many, many things he has done like that. Then one day I asked my father, see, you are such an educated man. Why did you marry such an illiterate woman? It's very surprising. Because when I was about to go for engineering, in my 10th standard only, one early morning I saw my mother, father talking, my father asking the mother, so should your son go for engineering or medical? She said, whatever you decide is all right. She doesn't know the difference also, what is the difference between the two. So my father said, no, I just want to know from you, what is your desire? So he will always consult her, although she is uneducated. He would always consult her. So one day my father was praising my mother like anything. And my mother was asking him, why are you praising me so much today? I think you want a signature from me. She was telling. Because she hardly would put signature occasionally. With a shivering hand, she knows how to put her name. So they were having an exchange of humor even after 80 years of age. Can you imagine? And they had such a thick understanding. My mother is a great singer. She had learnt all the Shastriya Sangeet and all. So whenever I would go home, I would see she will be singing and my father would be listening, hearing. So, and they kept the home very devotional since our childhood, celebrating all the festivals and everything. So I can honestly say that so much affection and so much care they reposed on me, therefore I can now give it to the whole world now. I can travel across the globe, reach out to thousands of people. Because only when we are brought up in a environment of love, care, trust, respect, then from childhood when we grow like that, then our heart will be very rich. Otherwise it will be very depleted if there is a bhogavritti. So I gave you real life examples now from my own parents who are very elderly. Nowadays what's happening in cities, the joint families have become dismantled. In a village sometimes you find a man with a big turban at the top, and then below him his four sons, and then their wives, then their children. Sometimes you find a family of 50 to 60 members all living under one roof. Correct? You have seen that? You might have seen the photos. Isn't it? Nowadays, do you find such families nowadays? Do you find? It's extremely rare. Very rare it is. Now they have become dismantled. Now people have gone to cities now, and in city, when you go from village to town to city, they become nuclear families. When the husband returns from the office, he only sees the wife, and wife only sees the husband. And they have to solve all the problems themselves, which is a very great challenge. When I was a small kid, I not only had my mother and father, I had my uncle, I had my aunt, I had my chachaji, all living in the same house, big house. I had my neighbors, I had my grandmother, grandfather. We had a big family. If you have a problem with one person, you can go to another person. If you have a problem with that fellow, you can go to third one. Isn't it? Now if you come home, you know, there is one mother, one father, one child. You know, you don't have too many people there. Therefore, we all have to become very mature if you want to preserve relationships. In the same manner in our office also, with our office colleagues also. So, the secret of not allowing the relationship to rust and to preserve the trust is these two things which I told you. One is, you have to give up bhogavritti and you have to practice sevavritti. Practice service attitude. And another thing I told you is development of sublime sattvic qualities. If you cultivate them, we will become magnetic personalities. Because people will long to associate with such a person who exudes such qualities. Because people are longing for someone who will have concern for them. Because otherwise what happens in this world, everybody is thinking about themselves, isn't it? Imagine if somebody comes to you and asks about you, what's your name, what are you doing, and how can I help you, if somebody is doing. That is very rare, isn't it? Like, I was going from Pune to Bombay, and I was sitting in a seat, and I saw one lady with a child, you know, carrying a child. And as soon as I saw her, I got up and I told her, Mataji, you sit. She said, no, I'm going up to Bombay. You know, if I take your seat, then how long can you stand? Like that she said. I said, no problem, I'll get another seat. So I made her sit. Then probably I stood from Chinchwad up to Lonavala or something. And Lonavala, one fellow was getting down. Although he was little distant away from me, he called me. He called me to his place and made me sit. And then while going off, he told me, thank you for giving place to that lady with the child. I was feeling that they are suffering. The lady with child, we should have some sympathy, you know, some courtesy, he was telling. So you will see that to have courtesy, it has to come from within. Correct, no? Nobody is going to tell us. Therefore, we all have to watch ourselves, which is called self-observation. We make a self-observation. So you can look through the specs and you can look at the specs, both. What is the meaning of that? Whenever we behave with other people, you observe your behavior. And then you look, go outside your body and watch. Put your own photo in front of you and ask yourself, what kind of person am I? Am I a person who is friendly or am I always quarrelsome? Belligerent, we call it in English. Am I selfish or am I selfless? Am I polite in speech or am I arrogant or harsh of speech? Do I mostly take care about myself or do I care for others also? So we can think like that. So we need a heart transformation. From being arrogant, we have to become polite. From being, you know, blaming others, We have to become people who take responsibility in their lives. From being cruel to others, we have to become compassionate while dealing with others. While being duplicitous, they are diplomatic. We have to become simple-hearted while dealing with other people. In this way, while feeling envy for others, we have to give up malice for others. If others succeed, we should be able to celebrate others' success. So this type of heart change, when it happens, then there will be a personality change also in us. The way we speak, the way we deal, the way we think, everything changes. Then we actually become more and more attractive. The qualities, the sublime qualities make a person attractive. And the seva vritti makes the connections based on love, respect and trust. Mutual respect and love and trust. That actually builds. I am going to conclude in 5 minutes with one last example, which I will give, and I will conclude. Then I can take some question from you. See, compare these two situations. This side you find Lord Krishna riding the chariot of Arjuna. On this side you find Shalya riding the chariot of Karna. So Shalya-Karna combination and here Krishna-Arjuna combination. You can make a one-to-one comparison between the two. Here what happened in Shalya-Karna combination? Shalya gave a suggestion to Karna. Karna, it seems that you are going to use the Nagastra. He asked him. He said, yes, so what? He asked him. I have a suggestion, he said. You seem to be aiming the arrow at the neck of Arjuna. I suggest you that you aim at the chest of Arjuna. Because if you aim at the chest, something happens, at least the neck will, it will hit the neck and his head will fly off. But if you aim at the neck, it's a narrow portion, it's very risky if it misses the target. So that's my suggestion, he said. Karna said, who are you to suggest? Shut up your mouth, he said. He said, I know, I am a Maharathi. I know what to do. You are supposed to be a chauffeur. You just ride the chariot. Keep your mouth shut, he said. Shalya became very upset. Shalya said, don't you know, I am king of Madras. He was from south. He was going towards Kurukshetra. That is another long story. To cut the long story short, I'll tell you. Duryodhana tricked him to come to his side. Although he was supposed to be on whose side? Pandava's side. So now Shalya said, I am also a king. I am not just a charioteer. And you are not giving me dignity. If you treat me without dignity like this, how do you think I can cooperate with you as a charioteer? Just because Duryodhana told me to be a charioteer, I am a charioteer. Otherwise, with an arrogant man like you, I would never want to work with you. And then he told him, hear me, I'll tell you a story. So at that time he told him a story. He said there was one Brahmana who was very rich and he had his children, and the Brahmana would have all this cashew nuts and kaju, kismis, badam, pista and all that at home. A very affluent family. So his children would eat nice things and they would sometimes throw some of these dry fruits in the back side of the house. One crow went and ate all that and he became a plumpy crow. And then this crow went to the other crows and said, oh, all of you crows, come here. We Kakajan are the best people in the whole world. No bird can outsmart us. We are the best people. And all the crows said, yes, 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 ka, 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 ka. They said, very true, very true. They all said like that. And two swans were sitting on a treetop. So the kaka looked at the swans and said, you foolish swans, you think you are very great? Now let's have a competition. Let us see who wins, he said. And the swans kept mum. And the crow loudly laughed to the other crows and said, just see, they are not even able to speak a word in front of me. So you know who the true hero is. And then the crow said to the two swans, come on, let's fly and see who can fly better. And the crow said, I can go vertically up. Like you have seen sometimes a fighter aircraft, it goes up, comes down like that. He said, I can go up, I can come down, I can rotate, I can go anti-clockwise, everything. He did a lot of tamasha for a while. And then when he flew, the two swans also flew. But the swans, you all know, they just, they flap the wing for a while and they glide in the sky, long distance. Like that they did. Two swans were flying, crow was in the middle. And then they flew over a ocean. And the crow gradually started losing strength and he was coming down, coming down, coming down. You know, his beak was touching the water. And the crow was wondering, what will I do? I am in the ocean now. And the swans were watching it. So when the crow was about to get drowned, his whole body became wet. So the swans, with their beaks, they picked up the crow, and they flew back to the seashore, and they were, you know, pressed the belly of the crow and removed all the water, and the crow was saved. Like this, Shalya told the story to whom? To Karna. Answered, "Oh Karna, you are like that crow," he said, and the Pandavas are like the Hamsajan, and you are like the Kakajan. You are very proud of your greatness, but Pandavas are truly great, although they don't proclaim their greatness. And he said, "I don't want to work with arrogant fellow like you. I am walking out." So he quitted the battlefield. He went back. So why I told you this? Karna had an ego problem with Bhishma also. He said, "Bhishma is out, Karna will be in. Otherwise, when Bhishma is in, I will not fight." Like that he told Duryodhana. Duryodhana said, "You are my best friend. Can't you cooperate?" He said, "No. What kind of friendship is that?" You see, we say that Karna is a thick friend of Duryodhana, but he didn't cooperate with Duryodhana when Duryodhana wanted. He said, "If Bhishma and you, both of you fight, we can easily win over the Pandavas." But he didn't listen to that. So, in the same manner, Karna had a serious problem with Arjuna. You will find that on this side, you find there was an acidic relationship between Karna and Shalya. Let us see what was happening on the other side. Other side, who was there? Krishna and Arjuna. So you can see how sweet the relationship was. When Karna took the Ashwasena, Ashwasena is actually a Nagastra. He took the Nagastra and aimed at the neck of Arjuna. When he was sending it, at that time suddenly he saw the arrow come and it took off the mukut of Arjuna. And the mukut toppled and fell on the ground, and it rolled on the ground, and all the ratna which was bedecked on the crown, it all fell off. And Arjuna was looking around. "My Lord, what will people think of me? My mukut has flown off." So then he looked at Krishna and said, "Hey Krishna, sambhal ke chalao. You know, ride the chariot properly." And Krishna stopped the chariot and turned around and said, "Arjuna, what are you talking? Your head was supposed to fly on the ground, but I pushed the chariot 1 feet down. Therefore your mukut went off." Like that he said, Krishna. So he said, "I saved your head and you are asking me to manage properly." When Arjuna heard it, he folded his palms and told Krishna. He said, "My dear Lord, you are so carefully protecting me, like eyelids are protecting the eyes, like a mother caring for a baby. You are caring for me so well. I don't even know what is happening around me, but you saved my life." So his affection for Krishna increased multifold, manyfold. By that exchange. So in this way you will see, another instance comes to my mind, when the whole war was over, Arjuna told Krishna, "Please get down." And Krishna told Arjuna, "You get down." They both were saying, "Get down, get down, get down." So finally Krishna insisted, then Arjuna got down. When Krishna got down, the whole chariot, like that, it just was set ablaze. And Arjuna asked, "What was it?" Then Krishna said, "There were many celestial weapons stuck in the chariot. And they were all actually planning to exert and inflame the whole chariot. But since I was sitting, you know, I was able to protect your life. When I got off, then everything was set ablaze," he said. So now you can understand, Krishna-Arjuna relationship is one of service attitude. Arjuna is obedient to Krishna, and Krishna becomes a sevaka of Arjuna, charioteer of Arjuna. Agreed? Correct, no? Whereas these two fellows had ego clash. Correct, no? Say, there are many men sitting here also. You know, in their offices, they might be working with many subordinates in their own team. Sometimes some of you ladies may also be project leads also. You may be leading or you may be in some leading position. You will always see, over the years, you will gradually get a team around you. Say, 4 people, 5 people, 8 people, 10 people working with you. And these people see you day in and day out. And you see them day in and day out. And think about our relationship with those people. Those people are doing very valuable service for us, and we recognize it, we acknowledge it. At the same time, there is likelihood of some of our relation with them having become strained because those people not fulfilling our expectations. Sometimes. So several times we might have different people reveal their expectations in different ways. Some people say, "Why didn't you do this?" Some people say, "Are you going to do it or not?" Some people will scream, "Why? correct, na? Different people bring out their expectations in different ways. So, those people who are around you, if we don't take care of our relationship with them, like Krishna Arjuna had a relationship, we are likely to lose them. If we lose them, the loss will be a big loss. For example, imagine a very big company, there is a president of the company, there is a vice president, and there is a board of managers. So these people are very important for the company top people. Because if this relationship is strained, if this fellow leaves this company and joins another company, then I will have to invest time in training a new person to come to this level. You agree? You understand what I am saying? Yeah. So in this world, your success comes from relationships. For a student, his success comes from a relationship with the teacher. For a person attending an interview, his success comes from the panel. For a business person, success comes from the customers. Customers bring you the success, isn't it? Similarly, say you are going to a shop. There are two shops opposite to each other. There are two shopping malls. They both are actually rival parties. So you have choice to go to this shop or this shop. Which shop you will go? Naturally, the shop where people are courteous, friendly, kind, and they are accommodating, and they give you actually the thing according to your requirement. They are understandable people. Not the other shop where people are unfriendly. Correct, no? Therefore, it is said, before people can open their purse for you, they have to open their heart for you. Otherwise, they are not going to release their amount. So, relationships, they do matter. And people are, nowadays, not knowing how to make the relationships, sweeter. People have no clue of that. Although they are reading many self-help books, they know the theory, but they can't apply it in their practical life. Because self-help books are like happiness in view, out of experience. You won't be able to apply it because Einstein made one very interesting statement. Einstein said, the intelligence with which man has created the modern day problems is not sufficient to solve those problems, he said. It is easy to create problem. For example, a child can take a pot and flower pot and put it down and break it. Can the child remake it? Not possible. That's man's situation nowadays. But if you take note of Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this type of literature, by hearing them, understanding them, making an effort to apply, you will get spiritual strength. With spiritual strength, we can cultivate these qualities. It's possible. You will not be the same person. If you practice spiritual life, in a year, in 2 years, 3 years, you will see, as I told you about the heart change. Heart change actually means transformation of heart. That will happen actually. People sometimes wonder what kind of person he was. Like you must have heard about Angulimal, Angulimal, or you might have heard about Valmiki. How they were and how they became. Such transformations are not impossible. And similar transformation can happen in our lives also. So when we say bonds of love and trust that never ever rust, that's because the people, two people, Arjuna and Krishna, their hearts were filled with love for each other. And Krishna is always like that with Sudama also, with Arjuna also, with all the other people. Because God is love, we say. God is love means He is an embodiment of love. By associating with Him, then we also gradually pick up that love. Like imagine one of us becomes extremely angry. How to quell the anger? It is said, quell the wave of anger with the wave of love, it is said. Like one lady was very angry with her husband. And the husband actually went from the drawing room to the kitchen. He went on increasing his tone. She also raised his tone. Finally, she took the bell and threw it at him. And the fellow ran away. Then she finished her cooking and came to the hall to continue her argument. But the fellow had already left. He knew that she will come to argue. But then she went on talking to herself loudly. She was shouting like that. Then the small baby crawled and came and sat on her lap. As soon as she embraced the baby, she forgot the quarrel. Because you can quell the wave of anger with wave of love. Therefore, to awaken that love, how that love can be awakened is a question mark for many people. As I told you, we have to hear about such role model personalities. Nowadays we are watching Hollywood, Bollywood movies and the heroes and heroines, they have no character. They just make a show of a drama, just fill up their pockets with money and they push off. But the Vedic characters that are presented to us, like we heard today about Rama, Sita and Lakshman and all these people, they have the noblest of the character. By hearing about their behavior and character, our minds and hearts will become imbued with those qualities. Then it will be easy for us to cultivate those kind of qualities. Otherwise, our modern day children are watching so many things in media nowadays. They are taught, even the cartoons are teaching them how to be envious. If you see the children, the cartoons they watch, the birds and the animals and everything, the way they show it. So what are we taking in? It's called Gigo principle. Good in, good out. Garbage in, garbage out. So we have the choice. The books that you read, the songs that you hear, the people you associate with, things that you do in your life, all these things, they mold your personality and character. Like the two parrots who are brothers, one parrot was sold to a butcher, another parrot was sold to a king. But when the sadhu was walking, he saw this bird, the butcher's sharp parrot. You know what he was saying? He said, "Catch him, beat him, cut him," like that he was saying. Whereas the palace parrot in the king's palace, he told the sadhu, "Oh, saintly person, please come. Please take your seat. The king has gone for a stroll. He'll be back in a few minutes." And the sadhu was surprised looking at the parrot. He said, "How is it that your brother is so ill-behaved and you are so well-behaved?" He asked. Then the parrot told him, he told him a verse. He said, "Gauvashanena vakyam shrinoti." My brother, he said, he associates with that butcher who is eating cow flesh. Gauvashanena vakyam shrinoti. But what about me? He said, "Aham charajan vachanam muninam." I am hearing the sweet words of saintly persons like you, he said. "Nastyasta dosho nachamat gunova." Not that my brother is bad, I am good. "Samsargaja dosha guna abhavanti." It's all association, he said. I am keeping good sangha, so I speak sweetly, he said. He keeps bad sangha, so he speaks very badly, he said. So all of you devotees have come today here. So you have the opportunity in your life. You all are educated. You are in a good position in society. Now you have come to a certain stage in life. Many of you sitting here are 30 plus. See, when you are 20, you are studying in the college. When you are 25, 26, you get married. And then when you have a child, you know, these age groups are very busy, if you see. So as you cross 30, 35, you know, it's a very good time for you to think about your life, yourself, and how to have enriching relationships in our life, which will not rust, even after several years. And you try to modify your behavior, and you will see the whole thing around you, the world around you changes completely. But when we don't modify, we get into a blame game, and that person, this person, then the world remains the same. It doesn't change. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I can take one or two questions. The mic is available around. If anybody, I generally what I do, as soon as I finish the class, I request the audience to say one statement, one sentence, whatever they are going to carry home with them, whatever you liked in the class, something very striking you learned today, because that gives me confidence that I could convey what I wanted to convey to you. Otherwise, what happens? You know, I may be speaking something at another plane and you may be thinking of something else. So in order to give me confidence, I'll request all of you, just one statement, and I will not go in order. Whoever raises the hand, the mic will come to you, okay? One mic is here. Where is one mic? Yeah. Yes. Yes, Mataji, please.
Change in behavior changes the world around me.
Very good. The last point, you caught it very well. You liked it?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. See, for example, in this room, say this room is full of thorns, for example. You have two choices. Either to put a carpet, big carpet. You may complain, why are there so many thorns? You know, please get a carpet. And people may say, we want to get a carpet. It's too costly, madam. And they may say like that. And last time I came, it was thorn. Now also there are thorns. You may be shouting. But there is another thing you can do. Wear a shoe. Which is cheaper? Wearing a shoe or getting a big carpet to cover the room? Correct, no? Especially if you get a sandak shoe. Sandak is the cheapest. You know, 100 rupees you can get a shoe. But if you have to put a carpet in the entire room, thick rug you have to put, it's going to be pretty costly. Similarly, changing the world around us is very challenging. But we can actually, Krishna told Arjuna this point, in that 2.14 Bhagavad Gita. He says that, Arjuna, learn to change your attitude towards the world. Don't get into blame game. You know, find out what you can do to make the world better. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. He captured Seva Bhava. Give the mic to him. You tell me your names also, I can know. What was your name, Mataji, yourself? Neha. Neha, okay. Now you can introduce yourself. Whoever is going to speak a point, you introduce yourself to everybody else, okay? Yes. You can tell about yourself.
I'm Neha Upadhyay.
Okay. You're a student or what do you do?
I'm a housewife.
Okay. And you are, what is your specialization? Taking care of all the members of the home? Have you studied something?
Yes.
You graduated?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, according to the Vedic life, a housewife is given a very high position. And there is a saying in English, the hand that moves the cradle can make or break the world, it is said. Because how you raise your children, how you care for your husband, how you take care of the in-laws, you have to take care of the in-laws in such a way they become in love. So then a woman can make all the members of the home happy. Thank you. Now yourself, Prabhu, you can tell about yourself.
My name is Janardhan.
Hey, is it working? This one.
Whether within the family or in the society or even in general, like the example of offering a seat to somebody in a public transport.
That is true, yeah.
Or offering a lift when, you know, it is...
This is the beginning of selflessness. See, some people even ask a question, if you are selfless like this, people naturally love us. And what is the need of God? People ask like that. Why do you bring in God unnecessarily? But if you will see that in your home, the child first knows only the mother. Then the child knows the father. Then the child knows the brother and sister. Then the child comes to know the neighbor. Then the child comes to know the jati, my jati people. If I am a brahmana, I like all the brahmanas, correct? No? If I am a vaishya, I like all the vaishyas, whatever. And then the person starts loving his own state. Like one person told me here, you know, one poet has sung in Maharashtra that when you say Maharashtra, Jaya Maharashtra, you know, honey flows in his ears, like that. And I quoted one song from Tamil, Subramanya Bharati. Sendamennadennum podinile inbathenvandu paayidu kaadinile. He says the same thing. When you say Tamil Nadu, honey flows in my ears, he says. You know? I told this boy. So then people love the state. And then gradually they go to all over India. Nowadays everybody is everywhere nowadays. Like I am a Tamil fellow, but I am in Pune last 25 years. I am from Tamil Nadu. So now I went to Bloomington, which is off Chicago. Next to Chicago, Bloomington, Quarry Valleys, there were 5,000 families, Tamil families there, South Indian families sitting there. Although it's America, the whole community were South. So you find people, everyone, everywhere nowadays. It's a mixture of everybody, correct? No? Then you become more broad-minded, you say, Mera Bharat Mahan. You know? Now when you leave India and go to America, now you understand, you start appreciating all human beings. Because America, there are good persons, bad persons. India, there are good people, bad people, correct? No? So as your love expands, some people go to America and say, I like Americans also, but some people eat beef, which means they love humans, but they don't love animals, isn't it? So therefore you will see, when you love God, then you can love all. Why? Because all jivas are God's children. You can't say, I love the father and I'll cut the throat of the child. You can't do that. So in this way, our selflessness begins from our neighbors. It expands. When you become ultimately totally selfless, then you connect with God. That's the highest platform. So today, in today's lecture, you all heard from Ramayana today. By coming to this type of programs, gradually we develop affection for God, the way Arjuna had for Krishna, Sudama had for Krishna. Then you have reached the pinnacle in life. There is nothing beyond that. Because when one loves God, one loves all. Why? God is like the pivot. You can draw thousands of concentric circles, they will never clash with God in the center. But if people don't have God in the center, I have my center, you have your center, everybody has their center, then the circles, they clash. Like you put different stones in the pond, they all clash. But if you put the stone in the same place, they expand, they don't clash. Correct, no? So I appreciate your point on selflessness, which is very good. You have made a good beginning. And continue that, because you have been selfless, God has sent you to this program.
Also very active in teaching Sanskrit.
Is it? You are a Sanskrit teacher?
I am a volunteer of Sanskrit. Early Sanskrit student actually.
Okay. So, I attended 10-day course by Sanskrit Bharati. You offer the 10-day?
I started doing that here.
Okay, okay. You can do for brahmacharis also. They want to learn Sanskrit. Many of them. Okay.
I also have a question. In the example that you stated, when Maricha calls up, then Sita Devi thinks it is Rama calling up.
Correct.
And she wants the actions to be taken on the basis
to safety, of safety around. Correct.
That belief. And when
Lakshman hears
Lakshman
it,
hears
he knows.
Is very confident that yes. It is not Rama, it is Maricha calling up.
Correct.
So this viveka between what is right and what is not correct.
Correct.
That
will come by study of Shastra. Krishna says, Tasmat Shastra Pramanam te Karya Akarya Vyavasthitav. Like that he says, Tasmat Shastra Pramanam te. If you study Shastra, Karya means what to do, Akarya means what not to do. That intelligence will build up when you study Shastra regularly, like Gita, Bhagavatam. Shastras give you very analytical case studies. Like I told you, what Sita is thinking, Lakshman is thinking. So when you, the more we study Shastra, you become you become a agada bodham. You have oceanic intelligence. Therefore, you will find people who are learned in Shastra can interpret, analyze, compare, contrast, and they can tell different case studies. So, the Shastras have a lot of things to offer. Like today, we learnt about Bhogavritti, Sevavritti. This is one topic. So, every time you come, you hear on one topic and go. And so, that has relevance to your current life, and it also will help you in the life beyond your death, which is the next life in the spiritual world. Thank you. A good name again?
Janardhanji.
Thank you. Who else is going to make a point? Yeah, yeah. You have a mic with you, madam? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. My name is Deepti. I have a master's in computer applications. However, I run a preschool. For the last 8 years, I've been running a preschool in Magarpatta. So that's what I do. Okay. And I have two children
you
as
have
well.
How many children attending a close school?
About 100 children.
Very good.
And I have two boys of my own.
It's wonderful children. That you are running a school. Now you can give them values.
Yes.
Yeah, you learn to. And you share with them.
I hope to. I have a question. When you shared that the correct duty of a wife is to be with the husband.
Yes.
So Lord Rama suggested his mother to do so.
Correct.
He accepted his wife also to do so.
Yes.
But why not Urmila?
I forgot to tell that. I rushed through it. Actually, after Lakshman met Ram and convinced Ram that he'll go with him, then Lakshman was walking back to meet his mother. On the way, he was thinking, what will I tell my mother? What will I tell my wife? In his mind, he was thinking, it'll be nice if I can go without my wife, because if I take my wife, my service to Sitaram will be affected. He thought, I will have to pay attention to my wife, you know. But what will I tell her, he was thinking. So first he went to his mother Sumitra, and when he did namaskar to Sumitra, Sumitra touched his head and blessed him and said, my dear child, do you know Lord Ram is going to forest? And he said, yes, I would like you to go with him, she said. And Lakshmana was so happy. It's like somebody giving you a sugar cane and asking you, can you eat it? I'll give you 100 rupees. It's like that, you know. He wanted to ask her for permission. On her own, she said like that. And then he went to his wife Urmila to explain to her. Then Urmila also knew the matter. And she herself suggested to him that although you are like my pran, like my life air for me, I can't live a moment without you. But I would like to see you going alone to the forest and serving Sitaram. If I am with you, your anxieties will be to take care of me. Therefore you go. And she said, these 14 years I will wait with great pains of separation. But by staying back, I am serving Sitaram. By accompanying them, you are serving Sitaram. In this way, we both can serve the best, she said. So Lakshman was so happy, he didn't even had to convince his wife. She on her own suggested. Then he went alone. So we can say that husband and wife generally should stay together. But sometimes for the sake of some seva or service, they may have to be separated. For example, say here also nowadays you will find husband and wife, they are staying together. Now the husband has to go to another city and he has to do his job because company is sending him, say for a couple of years or something like that. And the wife says, I want to come with you, but our children are here. Who will take care of the children? Now she has two choices, either to serve the husband or serve her children. So she will ask the husband only, what do you want me to do? In case the two cities are like, say, Jammu and Kashmir and Kanyakumari, for example, you know. You know, it's like Yeah, it's like distance. No. So then they may make a plan that once in a month I'll catch a flight and come. Now we can meet. You know? So I will come 1 month and you come 1 month. Other times, you know, you take care of the children. Children are budding children. So now the service to children has assumed importance, for which husband and wife are ready to sacrifice their joy of being together. Correct, no? So in the same manner, occasionally such things may be allowed. Therefore, we have to see what is the motive behind the action. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else would like to, either you can answer a point or you can ask a question. You have both choices.
Hi, Prabhuji. My name is Neeraj. And I work in...
What's your name again?
Neeraj.
Neeraj, yes.
So I work in a corporation.
Okay.
So my question is related to connecting our work seva, the corporate job seva,
correct.
To the purpose. So correct. What is your advice in this regard?
Yeah, we can do that. For that we have to learn spirituality at workplace, we call it. We have many seminars we do, in the companies we do. So, there are two things to be learned. One is your culture of dealing with people in the workplace. Your superiors, your equals, your subordinates, you know, what type of culture you have. One culture is about dealing, how you deal with them. And also how you care for them, how you keep the team together, by your good behavior and all those things. So, this is human characteristics. And with respect to karma yoga, when we say, connecting your work to God. See, karma is mundane and yoga is divine. Like for example, if somebody is doing mundane work, how it can become divine? It's only possible when you offer the fruit of your work to God. Then only it can become divine. Some people say karma hi puja hai. Some people say like that. See, if somebody says working hard is puja, then our donkey should get a gold medal for work. Because he works the hardest, if you see like that. Is it not true? But our work should be offerable to God and we should offer to God. Now how do we offer? I'll tell you, there are various ways to offer. Say you are an office going man, you are earning some salary. Say every month you set aside say 5% of your salary and you get some Bhagavad Gitas. There are many poor school children who need Bhagavad Gita to read. You can distribute. Like we have a Gita contest we do. In the Gita contest, last time we distributed 50,000 Gitas. So one Gita is say 100 rupees. But children are unable to afford that amount. So somebody sponsors 50 rupees. Then we give the children 50 rupees. And many are able to buy like that. So which means you have connected your salary to God's service. This is one way. Another way, in your company you are going, say you are sharing some of your knowledge you received here with your colleagues, with your friends. Today you heard about Ram, Sita Ram you heard. You heard about Bharat and Ram you heard. Then I told you about these two fellows, Arjun and Krishna and Shalya and Karna. You like these examples, you share it. So by sharing this wisdom with your colleagues also, with your official colleagues or with home people, you are preaching, you are actually distributing the wisdom about God. So you are sanctifying your time by that also. And in the weekends when you have holidays, say you come to temple, you render some seva. We have many services we do. Like tomorrow we have a maha cleaning service in our campus. Between 1 to 5, we are going to clean the whole campus. We will have 1,000 devotees will come. And they will all be cleaning different parts of the campus. We have a 6-acre campus there, which is God's service. It's like Karaseva we do. Similarly, it's God's service. So, similarly, if you are good in computers, you can help us make a poster for the programs. Somebody has a good vehicle, car. They can help us transport things. Somebody has a... One fellow has a grocery shop. He is giving us some oil and ghee in some donation once every few months as it gives. So whatever work we may do, either monetarily or as commodities or giving our time, giving our energy, so various ways in which we can serve. So pranair arthair diya vacha, it is said. Like somebody can give his whole existence. For example, we are joining as brahmacharis, we have no other way, work to do. All day we go out and give this kind of classes everywhere. But somebody is a grihastha, they have to take care of the home. So you have three duties. You have family duties, you have professional duty, and you have devotional duty. All the three you have to fulfill. So if one cannot dedicate a lot of time to God, then one can give some earning to God. One doesn't have so much money to give, then one can give some of his pranair, arthair, Diya means you can give some of your intelligence in expanding this good work. Like you can become a, like our yoga institute here, this yoga center, they have, they are hosting this program, Praveenji and Aparna Mata and Praveenji. So they have given us this place to use. So simply by giving this place, they are getting bhakti sukruti. They are earning punya in bhakti. So somebody may volunteer to do one type of service or another type of service. Many services people do, like ladies sometimes help us in stitching clothes for the outfit for the murti. Some of them make jewelry. Some of them cook and offer the boga to the deity. Many services they do like that. We have almost 200 services like that. So any working man or woman can, we have a service center also, Vindadevi service center. One can come and ask, what service can I render? So they will give you a chart where you can tick mark different services. So, but the most important thing is, by connecting yourself to the services, we have to gradually transform our heart. Like today I was telling you, change of heart. There is a mundane behavior in the world which is very selfish. And like for example, a man looks at a woman like an enjoyable object. A woman looks at a man like an ATM machine or something like that. You know, so you both have a bhogavritti, exploiting nature. But when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, they have a change of heart. They always look around, how I can be of service to society, how I can be a healing cell in society, rather than a cancer cell. So in this way, our attitude changes. Even when you offer any of this seva to God, attitude actually gets progressively better and better. Because you will come in connection with devotees, with God, with books, with that kind of ambience. Then we get better and better. Is that all right? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah.
Do you hear me? Namaste, Swamiji.
Your good name?
My name is Uday.
Uday.
I work for a company called SAP here in Magarpatta city. Okay. Just have a comment and also a question to me. Thank you so much for narrating beautiful relationships in Ramayana.
It was clear?
Oh, very clear, of course. I think Ramayana not only teaches us what to do and how the relationship should be, and then also it teaches us how the relationship should not be as well.
Yeah.
You beautifully narrated the good relationship between Ram and Lakshman, and on the contrasting relationship, I think, in Ramayana are between Vali and Sugriv. If you can tell us a little bit about the relationship of Vali and Sugriv, I think that would also help us.
Vali and Sugriv is very amazing. They are brothers, actually. One time what happened, Vali was fighting with one demon, you know. And they both are fighting for a long time, and the demon entered into a cave. And Vali also entered into the cave. And the fight went on for a pretty long time. And his brother Sugriva was waiting outside the cave. And then suddenly Sugriva saw there was a flood of blood coming out. And immediately he heard a loud shout also. Ah, like the loud shout. So what he thought happened inside?
Vali is dying.
Vali is dead, he thought. Okay, Vali is dead, what will happen next? The demon will come running outside and he will catch Sugriva and he will kill him also. And he thought, if both brothers die, then what will happen to Kishkindha? Who will rule the kingdom and who will take care of the people? Then he thought, very quickly he made a decision. In a moment, because in those days kings would think about the praja, how to take care of the people. So he took a big stone and he plugged the mouth of the cave so that the demon cannot come out. And then he cried loudly, and then he went back to the palace and all the ministers met him and they heard the story about Vali. Then they understood Vali is dead and gone now. Okay, then they all requested, Sugriva, you become the king. Because somebody has to rule the kingdom and you are the younger brother, so you rule, they said. So he reluctantly accepted. So now he sat on the throne with all the ministers. In the meantime, you know what happened? Vali, inside the cave, he was alive. The demon had died. Vali was alive. Now Vali wanted to come out, but the door was plugged. How will he come out? The cave was plugged with a big boulder. Of course, Vali was pretty strong. He ran and thrashed the boulder and he came out. And he was searching for his brother. Where is my brother? It seems my brother has purposefully, you know, plugged the cave with a boulder. I think he wished me to die because he might have wanted to take over my throne. That must have been his intention. Like that, he judged his brother. See, here we learn a very valuable lesson, all of us. Don't judge others merely by observation. In our Tamil, there is one slogan, Kannal kaanbadum poi, காதால் கேட்பதும் போய் தீர விசாரிப்பதே மெய். இட்ஸ் ஐஸ் த்ரீ திங்ஸ். சீயிங் வித் யுவர் ஐஸ், டோன்ட் ஜட்ஜ். இஃப் சம்படி ஹியர் சே தட் இஸ் சைனீஸ் விஷ்பர், யூ ஆல் ஹவர் சைனீஸ் விஷ்பர், வாட் வில் கம் டு யூ மே பி மச் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் தேன் வாட் த ஒரிஜினல் ட்ரூத் இஸ். தேர் ஃபோர் ஒன் ஷுட் தரலி அனலைஸ் பிஃபோர் அரைவிங் அட் த ட்ரூத். யூ ஷுட் ஆஸ் த பர்சன், மை டியர் பிரதர் டெல் மீ வாட் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி ஹேப்பன்ட், வாட் மேட் யூ பிளக் த டோர் ஆஃப் த ஐ மீன் கேவ், ஆல் தட் யூ ஷுட் ஹவ் ஆஸ்ட். பட் வென் வாலி வாக்ட் பேக் வித் அ ஹார்ட் ஃபுல் ஆஃப் வெஞ்ச்ஃபுல் ஆட்டிடியூட், ஹீ சா சுக்ரீவா சிட்டிங் ஆன் த த்ரோன் and he ran to him with his raised arms to hit him. And Sugriva got up and said, "Oh brother, you are back, we are also happy." He said, "What happy?" He asked, "You rascal, you wanted to take over my throne, therefore you did this." And then he went to attack him, and brother tried to explain to him, and Vali wasn't in a mood to understand. So Sugriva ran, Vali chased behind, and there was a big fist fight between them. So from this we learn one lesson, that between brother and brother, or sister and sister, or between friends also, in case some unpleasant encounter happens, we should not go for a snap decision. We should wait and watch, because many times the paristhiti or the circumstance in which a person acts in certain ways, may not be understood by us. So we should not be overconfident, or we should not overestimate our intelligence. We should always ask. So that's the lesson we learn. And they both became ascetic in the relationship, which is a very bad relationship. Of course, Sugriva went and hid himself in Rishimukha mountains, where Vali couldn't go to that area. Later on, Vali was killed. So the whole idea is, they are brothers actually. But although they were brothers, the relationship became spoiled because of wrong considerations, and Vali thinking, "My brother is exploiting me."
Is looking beyond the obvious.
We have to look beyond the obvious actually, because many times when you, like I'll tell you a simple example. In those days, my Ayurvedic doctor told me that when I had ulcer in the mouth, he said you have to take some ghee, you have to put it in that, he told me. So morning, one boy was standing outside my window to meet me. He saw me taking a small drone and putting little ghee. So he saw me having a ghee bottle in the hand. And then I told him, "I am very busy now, I'll meet you later." So afternoon he came at 1 o'clock. I was taking second time ghee, I was taking. Then evening when he came, he saw me also taking. So he went and told people that Rajnabhav drinks ghee all day. Whenever I go, I see him with ghee. And many people ask me, "Prabhuji, you like ghee or what very much?" I told them, I have taken only 3 times, and that too only half a spoon. And for this ulcer, doctor has told me, I told them. So don't judge by seeing. That's a lesson we learn. Because what you see may not be the truth many times, So we have to listen. We need patience. Therefore, it is said that, try to understand before you seek to be understood. Before you seek to be understood. Everybody says, "Wait a minute, I will tell you." Somebody says, Ayyappan says, no, I will tell you first. You have seen two people arguing like that. How many of you have seen that? You have seen that, correct? Isn't it? So what we should say, okay, try to understand. Before you seek to be understood. Okay, now I will listen, now tell me. So when you listen to people, then they are ready to hear from you. That is the lesson we learned from Vali Sugriva.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any other point? Yeah.
I really like the way Rama convinced Bharata to go back and take the throne. And how he convinced Kausalya, and
very intelligent Ram, isn't
it? Sita that, whatever she wished to do.
Yeah.
And so it's with wisdom and with lot of conviction that, yes. He believed it. And he
knew the right thing, who should do what also. Yes. Thank you very much. Your name, madam?
My name is Aparna.
Okay. You have been to such a program before?
No.
First time you came. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. You all live in Magarpeta and Karadi here. Any of you not from Magarpeta here? Anybody? Which place are?
Hadassari.
Hadassari is not very far from here. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes. Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. She made a very good point. Sure. Your point was very good. You have covered everything, yeah, yes?
Okay. The takeaway I would say for me is, to kind of acquire Ram's sattvic qualities.
Very good.
I would say that. Yes. When you're in the center of that, then automatically, I guess,
yes,
then the entire world kind of takes care of you. in some ways.
I have a course called Art of Smart Work. Maybe next time I meet all of you, I can do that. I have recently brought out a booklet on that. So it has got some activity sheets also. There we teach about sattvic, sattva behavior. How sattva, rajas and tamas, three qualities we discuss about. If you wish, when I come next time, I can do that. I can bring those booklets for all of you. Isn't it? You all can solve some activity sheets also. And then we can... you have the copy of the book you have with you?
No.
You have? Okay, yeah. So maybe we can do that next time. And then you will learn what are the sattva qualities and how we can build on them. Thank you. And you are Vijay, right?
Vijay? I'm Vijay. Yeah.
Vijay, yeah. Thank you. Yes, anybody else remembers any point? Yes.
Actually, relationships are very
important. Is mic on?
Yeah, I do.
Your voice is soft, I can't catch it.
Hello?
Yeah.
Actually, you told us that relationships are very important, which also I also feel so.
Yes.
But sometimes I realize relationships are... these days it is not happening so. Many relationships are breaking off, and it's a fashion to break off actually. And that is only my observation. And one more important thing is sometimes anger also, you told us. I feel like sometimes when you have a very good relationship with some person, we don't agree with that person because we try to explain things to them or we care more for them. Then our anger
should start. Our care is misunderstood.
But we become more angry with them sometimes to explain ourselves.
Correct.
So what can we do about that?
So I will talk one session on this. We will talk on how, whether anger uses us or we use anger, and how to manage our anger, and how to, especially those people who have deep concern for someone, that concern comes out in the form of anger actually. So we will talk about anger management in with Gita shlokas. We can talk about it. I will do one of the future sessions. I will do so one. I have taken a note about the sattvic qualities. Another one, this I will do it. People will just make a note. These two things you note. Yeah. Thank you. And your name?
I am Vijaya.
Vijaya Manan. Thank you. Anybody else who hasn't spoken would like to speak? Would like to recollect one point. If you don't recollect a single point, then I will think that I'm a useless teacher. I couldn't convey a single point to you. She has a point, yeah.
Being selfless.
You learnt.
Putting more than in any situation or anything, putting what benefits me, what benefits us as a family or us as
correct.
Community, I think
yes.
Probably look forward to
thinking
that. What benefits us
than me. Correct, that's true, yeah. Actually, by being selfless in the family, certainly a family is more a happy family than being a selfish family, surely. That's the beginning actually. Then you can extend the same to community. And it becomes easier for you to be very naturally selfless, because great devotees of God like Hanuman, for example, is very selfless. Great devotees like Arjuna. Arjuna, you know what he is saying in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Yadimam apratikaram ashastram shastrapanayah dhartarashtran rane hanyuhu tanme kshema tarambhavet. Krishna, when I see Duryodhana and other cousins in the battlefield, I feel, let me go in front of them with no weapons in my arms and get killed by them unarmed, because I don't want to kill them. How I can kill my cousins? Like that he is asking. So great devotees, you will find they are so selfless and non-violent. They always think of the welfare of the other party, although the other party may be exploitative. You can see that. See, Pandavas wanted only 5 villages, but Kauravas were not ready to give even the land in the tip of a needle also. So you can see who is selfish and who is selfless and who is unreasonable, who is reasonable, you can see that. So from our side, if you become followers of Pandavas, then you have Krishna with you. And if Krishna you have with you, then you have everything you have. Thank you. That was one point I made. She captured that point. Like a child, for the child's supreme welfare, the husband and wife's continued relationship is very vital. Then the children grow with very enriched hearts, they grow. Otherwise, if they break apart, then the children's hearts are broken. So in this way, you can have many reasons for which we will cooperate. For the child's sake, or for your parents' sake, husband's parents' sake, wife's parents' sake, or for the society's sake. Otherwise, a divorced person is not so much respected. If one is... of course, nowadays, divorce has become a necessity. It has become a necessity because one of the two parties is extremely exploitative. Like if husband is beating the wife, he is drinking liquor and everything, then wife has to divorce sometimes. Unknowingly she got into that relationship sometimes. Therefore I cannot loudly speak this message in the modern times, in the current scenario. But at the same time I can tell you that in all of relationships we should do our part. We should do our best. That we can say, isn't it? Yeah. So most of you recollected. How many of you recollected till now? Or you asked a question to me till now? Who all have spoken on the mic till now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of them. Very good. So who are all missed out? So for those who are missed out, can others give them a clue which they will catch and they will recollect a point?
Sir, I won't take a clue. I will give you two topics.
Okay.
Which come through what you have told with my life.
Okay. Yes.
I have grown up in
Kita
Vatika
Gurukul.
Okay. So all Krishna consciousness
was there.
My childhood.
You are very blessed.
Okay.
Very fortunate.
So that environment definitely helped and has created me what I am.
Correct.
Okay. Like today I'm 53.
Yes.
So my second topic with 53 is after a certain stage, you have to change and accommodate yourself to make the situation more adaptable for you as well as
others.
For people around
you. You are right, you are right.
I have reached a position as HR head in my corporate solutions department.
Okay.
So this comes truly true with me. Environment has great impact on you.
Yes, yes.
And two, what you also said is with every stage you have to change.
Mature.
And mature.
You have to grow in maturity, that is true.
Adaptability
and adaptability. Yeah, now in your age, people will expect you to be motherly and you have to delegate certain things to them and make them a success, just like John.
I am doing some part of it. I have been treated along with my job. I am working in directly.
Okay.
And Saturday, Sunday, I devote all my time to Kuppatti girls, training them in tailoring and paper bag making as well.
Okay. So you are surely extending yourself. Now you have to add the element of devotion in it. Actually, what makes the karma into yoga? Yoga, the word yoga comes from yuj. Yuj means to connect with God. So why we connect with God? See, God is imperishable and divine, and activities of this world are perishable and temporary. But if you connect a perishable, like food is temporary food, ordinary food, but when you give it to God and take, it becomes divine. Like he asked a brilliant question, our friend, about how to make the work divine. So in the same manner, what you are doing for these children is very good. The children from the orphan, maybe you are bringing them from that downtrodden position to a better position. But if you add the element of devotion, that's very nice service. But when, like, you should give them something, yeah, that is true. Yeah, no, by selfless service you definitely attain pleasure, but you should give them something which they carry after death also. Like if I give them food today, it becomes stool tomorrow. But if I give them Mahamantra, like you all were singing Hare Krishna today, that will go beyond death also. So I give, thank you. And anybody else would like to give a clue for anybody?
One, thank you for the nice lecture today. And one of the points I took away is the association you have. You know, the two swans, I mean two
parrots.
Parrots.
Ah, that's true. You know, remember that, very good.
You know, satsang. You know, good thoughts.
Correct.
Good association makes a big difference.
Makes a very big difference, that's true. What's your good name?
My name is Anand.
Anand. You work for some company, Anand?
Yeah, I work for Honeywell.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? He recollected the two parrots story. Very nice. Thank you. Anybody want,
Yeah, I wanted to know that you have just told that we should, at times we should realize ourselves, you know. Self-realization is must to improve ourselves.
Yes, yes, right.
But what is the right way to go for it? And I don't know, the question is
you just keep coming
little
for programs like this.
Yeah.
You keep coming and you chant Hare Krishna, which we will teach, when you chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So, and read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is.
It's really convincing that we should keep on self-realizing ourselves.
That is true,
know?
Yeah. The more we realize, the more we come closer to truth. It's like putting on a light in a dark room, you know. See, in this room, if there is pitch darkness, somebody comes running into the room, they will walk over the thighs and heads of all the people. But if you switch on the light, they know who is sitting where and they will act properly. So we have to switch on the light of wisdom. So we call it rekindling wisdom and reviving love. So these two are the motors we were saying in the beginning.
But most of the times, whatever we do, we behave like, we feel that it's good.
So how do you know it is good or not? So you have to check with Shastra. Like one man told me, my brother is in village. And he is very, very charitable, he told me. I asked, what does he do? He said, every year for 10,000 people he feeds, he said. What does he feed? Oh, he cuts thousands of goats and he feeds them, he said. I said, oh, this is dangerous. This is a tamaguna charity. It's a charity in ignorance. Then I told him how much sin is incurred by cutting so many. Then I called for his brother. He came. Then I told him, sir, this is improper and everything. Now he has stopped giving non-veg now. He gives only veg, and that too he offers to Krishna, and then he distributes. So in this way, many times we may be doing something which we do not know whether it is right or wrong. But if you come for this satsanga, gradually our wisdom quotient increases over a period of time. Thank you. Your good name?
Sunita.
Thank you. Yes.
Hello Swami, my name is Hari.
Amazing, everybody started recollecting themselves on their own without any clue. Yes.
My name is Hari. I was just taking out a point on, you know, continuous introspection that we need to do towards seva vritti. That's the point I could take.
Yes, yes. Very nice. Yeah. So in this way, many of you are captured.
Thank you. Very nice.
Hari,
yeah. You are working, Hari?
Yeah, I'm
working. Okay.
Here
only Mahaprabhu.
No,
since you are. Anything else left out? Yeah.
Yes. My name is Satish. Okay. One thing which I wanted to add, whatever, recollect from whatever you said, is about respecting others, seva vritti, what you say, and respecting others, and especially in the corporate. Good, it is working towards the power of
it.
Exactly.
So that's what I mean. Yes. Actually, working towards the government, our objective actually is based on universal laws. So universal law is, you go to America, London, Australia, Canada, anywhere you go, if you are seva vritti, people will like you. And if you are goka vritti, everybody will be upset with you. That's a universal law. So in the same manner, the universal law says that, you know, connecting with God is like watering the root of a tree. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree gets nourished. Similarly, connecting with God means we connect with all His children. Then we actually can have a loving relationship with everybody. Like many of you, I'm seeing you for the first time. But I feel affection for you because you are a child of God. You have taken your time and trouble to come. You have given your valuable time. I feel a deep sense of respect for you. So, in this way, that which will just now you have good name. So Satish made the point, the common goal towards which we all want to achieve, which is actually love, trust and respect. That is actually
what we all want to do, but that is impossible to achieve without putting God in the center. Putting God in the center is like putting food in the belly. If you put food in the belly, the whole body gets nourished. Similarly, putting God in the center nourishes all living beings, millions of living beings all over the world. And you will see it, how it is, more and more. Today I have spoken for the first time, but when we meet more, it will become more and more clearer. But thank you for your point, Satish, Krishna. All are covered now? Everybody is covered now? Anybody is left out? Yeah.
How can there be an unconditional respect when there is no mutual respect? Is that possible?
Yeah, that is only possible when you are very exalted. Like for example, imagine you have a colleague who is very unreasonable. And he is angry with you, envious of you. And naturally you will say, how I can love him or respect him. Correct, no? Yudhishthira Maharaj respected Dasharatha. Yudhishthira Maharaj respected our Dhritarashtra. Like in Bhagavatam you will find, one day morning Dhritarashtra was missing. He had gone to the forest after Vanaprastha period. That time Yudhishthira cried, oh uncle, where are you? You know, did you leave us because you are frustrated that your 100 sons died in the battle? Like that he cried. So at that time Yudhishthira was crying, oh, when we were fatherless sons in the forest, you brought us to the palace and you took care of us. But actually Dhritarashtra was not a good person in that sense. He wanted to crush Bhima and make him powder. He wanted to kill the Pandavas. Still Yudhishthira could respect him because of Yudhishthira being Ajatashatru. Ajatashatru means he was having no enemies at all. Similarly, Prahlad, you know, his father tried to kill him. But after his father Hiranyakashipu died, He prayed to Lord Narasimha, please deliver my father. Like that he prayed. So great souls are able to feel sympathy for their enemies also. That's a very exalted stage. In our stage it may be challenging for us, in our stage, but gradually we can grow to that mature stage. Therefore you say sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu sarve santu niramaya. That platform is very elevated platform. When you see the whole world as one family, like your brother is very upset with you or angry with you, you tolerate him. Like that you tolerate everybody. Like vasudhayeva kutumbakam, when we come to that plane. At same time, I will suggest to you one talk lecture which I had spoken in Bombay, Prerana lectures we call it. Tit for tat or tolerate that. They can get it very easily, man. The name, the Google search they can get it. You can send it. So that if you see, it will tell you when you are allowed to take action and when you should tolerate. That I have spoken in that you can circulate to them. Link you can circulate.
Hello, I'm Ramesh. The Wali Sugriva relationship, which you said that is really, you know, without analyzing, he took the decision of agree with Sugriva and later fighting with him. So that's the takeaway that we also tend to do. You know, we see what, then immediately we react to the situation. Correct. Whatever see that we don't take much time to analyze why it has happened like that.
Very true.
Immediately we react to that, then afterwards we tend to think we should have thought about it.
Actually, there is a saying, spilt milk, sped arrow, and spoken words cannot be taken back. Correct? Now, spoken words, once you speak, you can't take it back. Similarly, spilt milk is spoiled. Now, you can't do anything with it. Or sped arrow. So, that is a good takeaway lesson, that we should not judge other people in our lives. So, we should think twice before we speak. It's better to listen first before we present our opinion. Thank you. Very good point. So I think everybody is covered now. Huh? I'm very happy that you all are thoughtful people. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Okay. So.
I didn't hear your name. What's your good name? Ramesh. Ramesh. Yes. Yeah, Ramesh.
I wanted to say that there are many stories in our scriptures, luckily, that we can still relate to. I have recently started taking Bhagavad Gita classes.
Okay.
Plus already, as a child also, I was always interested in...
Oh, you are a teacher of Bhagavad Gita?
No. I have started attending the...
Attending?
Yeah.
You are a program?
Yes.
Okay. Which
yes.
You take here?
Yeah.
Okay. She attends that. Okay.
Yeah. And there are many stories. There are several stories, never ending. And what's the best part of it is, no matter how old they are, you can still relate to them.
Correct.
In our everyday life.
Yes.
I work in a corporation. I am a team lead.
Okay.
I face everyday work-related issues.
Correct.
It's very easy to relate to those stories and to learn from them. Because there are direct examples.
Correct.
You already know the repercussions, like not listening and judging and you know, things like that.
Correct.
So knowing these scriptures
helpful.
Actually helps, yeah.
Very true. I was making this point about the relevance in the beginning. You know, we shouldn't think scriptures are outdated and it's not meant for us. Actually, they are right here and now, they're relevant. Therefore, I gave the example of lust and anger and greed, all that I gave examples in the recent times also. Thank you. That was an important point. So thank you all for your valuable time.